As we read our scripture reading, you may have noticed that I capitalized and highlighted one word. The word is grow. We're instructed by Peter to grow in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, and again in his next letter, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. As you may recall, both these letters are written by Peter, and these are the only letters we have. Do you remember who he wrote to? Peter only wrote these two letters, but he wrote to the Christians, the church, that had been scattered due to persecution. He calls them aliens and strangers and foreigners, depends on which version you have. The bottom line is that these were people who didn't belong in this world. They were in the world, as Jesus said, but not of the world. They were citizens of heaven living on earth. So indirectly, these letters are written to us because we too are citizens of heaven. We too are scattered, and we too may face persecution. We're in a teaching series through the first of these two letters. Maybe when we get done with 1 Peter, we'll go right into 2 Peter. Who knows? We'll see. But the theme of 1 Peter is hope in a hostile world. Hope in a hostile world. Hope appears several times in this book, and the touching on trials and fiery ordeals comes up several times in this book. What we're doing is we're studying it verse by verse, starting with verse 1 all the way through to the end, sometimes phrase by phrase, sometimes even word by word. We're taking our time to seek to discover what the Lord wants us to know about through this little letter. Today we're in chapter 2, so if you have a Bible, we'd like to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to focus our attention on the first three verses which we read in our scripture reading. I've summarized these three verses in my sermon title. Here it is. It's time to grow up. That's what Peter's saying in these first three verses. Hey, it's time to grow up. Have you ever had anyone say that to you? Hey, grow up. Maybe you've said it to someone else. Well, that in a nutshell was what Peter is saying to us as Christians. You think this is the early church, says they should all be pretty mature, pretty strong. After all, they've interacted with Peter, who walked with the Lord, who's one of the disciples. But the fact that he has to tell them to grow up means that some of them were immature. I find it interesting that he stressed spiritual growth in both of his letters. What does that imply? It implies that the first letter went out and they still didn't grow up. So he had to say it again in his second letter. It's time to mature. Some Christians are immature. Do you believe that? I wish we would all grow up spiritually, but sometimes we become believers and we kind of stagnate and stay immature. By the way, he's writing to born-again Christians. This is not to unbelievers. We saw that twice in chapter 1. We saw it in verse 3 and in verse 23. He calls them born-again, born-again. He implores them, grow up, born-again believers. He implores us, grow up, born-again believers. Don't stay immature. If it was important enough for Peter to mention it twice in two different letters, then we must take this message to heart. Maybe we're not as mature as we should be. Is it possible that some of us are immature believers, like this early church? We may be born again. We may be lifelong church attenders. We may even have been teachers or leaders in the church, yet in reality, when we do a self-inspection, maybe we're a little spiritually immature. Sometimes we look the part because of our age, because of our gray hair. People think we're wise, but maybe not spiritually wise. Now, I've been around children a lot, as you know, and around grandchildren a lot, and I've learned something. Children think they are more mature than they really are. Do you know that? If you ask a kindergartner if she's a little girl or a big girl, what's she going to say? I'm a big girl. And that's somewhat true. She is bigger than her little brother. She's big enough to feed herself, big enough to use the bathroom alone, even big enough to go to kindergarten. But is she really a big girl? No. She's really a child, and we know that. They just don't know that. They think they're big girls, big kids. She has a long way to go before she's a mature adult, but she thinks, in her own estimation, I'm a big girl. I've discovered that many Christians are like that. They act like children. We think of ourselves as mature believers because we've been a Christian a long time. But that's not the measurement of maturity, is being a Christian a long time. We say, well, we're Christians, we're adults, we've been believers many years, we have lots of worldly wisdom from all of our experiences. And if you were to ask that person, are you a mature believer? They might say, yes, I'm a mature believer, because they're comfortable in a church. Yet we might be like that kindergarten, kind of self-deceived. We might be evaluating our maturity on the wrong standards. We might be comparing ourselves to others rather than to the standards of Scripture. Do we really have spiritual maturity, not just physical maturity, but do we have spiritual wisdom? Apparently, some do not. That's why Peter writes them. He says, you Christians out there, you're scattered, you're being persecuted, but it's time to grow up. Let me remind you that there's another kind of immaturity. Maybe we can call it deliberate immaturity. Have you ever heard of the Peter Pan syndrome? You can look it up. It refers to adults, usually men, who don't want to grow up. They prefer their childhood or maybe their adolescence over adulthood. Michael Jackson is an example of this. He even said, I am Peter Pan in my heart. He even created a theme park called Neverland. He continued acting like a child even though he was an adult. On a spiritual level, there are some Christians that do the same thing. They think the world revolves around them. Mom and dad are there to help them. They live to satisfy their own pleasures. They demand their own way. They're easily angered. They hold grudges. In many ways, they simply refuse to grow up. You know, there are some Christians who just refuse to grow up. They just continue on in their old lifestyle, continue on with their own sinful behavior. We saw that in chapter 1. It says, do not any longer be enslaved to your former lusts, but be holy. God wants us to grow up. So there appears to be at least two kinds of immaturity. Let me review. Those who refuse to grow up, deliberate immaturity, Peter Pan syndrome spiritually. And then those who think they're grown up, but they haven't really matured. So they're self-deceived. Both need to grow up spiritually. Both need to obey God's word. Now Peter, he doesn't just say grow. He does say grow in grace and knowledge, but he also tells us how to grow. Don't you want to know? How can I grow up? I have an outline, and it's simple. It's in your bulletin. It's put off, take in, and grow up. If you put off the right things, take in the right things, you will naturally grow. Why don't you try that with me? Say, put off. Come on, use your hands. Put it off. Put it off. Get rid of it. Take it in. Take it in and grow. All right, that's what we're going to talk about today. He said there's certain things we need to put off and certain things we need to take in so that we might grow. So now that you have the skeleton of my message, let me give you a little meat on those bones. We're only going to look at these three verses. Number one, put off. Verse one, if we truly want to grow spiritually, we must put off old behavior, old ways, old lifestyle, the sins of the flesh. The Bible says, flee youthful lusts. We need to change. Remember in 1 Corinthians, he says, when I was young, I did certain things, but when I became a man, I put away the childish things. It's time for us to put off some things. Look at the verse. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that if by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted of the kindness of the Lord. So putting off and taking in. Peter begins by mentioning five attitudes or actions that are symptoms of immaturity. If you have these things, he's saying you're not a mature Christian, it's time to grow up. He gives us these. He's a part of the old life. In order to grow, we must put off these sinful practices, these sinful attitudes. This term, putting aside, actually carries the idea of taking off old, dirty, soiled clothing. You've done that. You've been all muddy and dirty, and you strip off your old clothing and you put on your new. That's the idea. We're to put off sinful attitudes, things that have soiled us, and put on the pure, holy behavior that God requires. So Christians who continue living in these old ways are refusing to grow up. They're saying, I don't really want to grow because I don't want to give up these things. I don't need maturity. I've just got my spot in my family and in my church. Peter's saying it's time to grow up. Let's look at these five attitudes briefly. Number one, malice. Therefore, putting aside all malice. Let's stop right there. Malice means evil thoughts of anger or hatred or vengeance. Malice carries the idea of wanting to hurt someone. Are you holding a grudge against somebody that you wish you could get revenge? Are you holding malice in your heart towards somebody in your past? Do you wish if you had the opportunity you could harm them? That's malice. If you're carrying that kind of grudge, that kind of malice in your heart, then you're an immature Christian. These are signs of immaturity, evidence that we're still living the old ways, not the way of Christ. It's time to grow up. Since God has forgiven you, the Bible says we should forgive others. Freely we have received forgiveness, freely we should receive forgiveness. I know that's difficult. Some of you have been hurt. Some of you have been damaged. And you can go on carrying that anger and that resentment, and it can just drive you sad, drive you mad. It comes to a point where you say, that's in my past, I forgive and move forward. With God's help, he can help you forgive and even in compassion, love your enemy. Love, not malice, is a sign of maturity. By this will all men know you're my disciples. If you have malice towards one another, is that what it says? By this all men will know you are my disciples if you have love towards one another. So the first putting off is malice. Weed it out. Don't let a root of bitterness spring up in your heart, the Bible says. The second word is deceit. Therefore, putting aside all malice and deceit. Let's stop there. Another evidence of immaturity is deceitfulness. Some people are chronic liars. I remember as a kid, I grew up lying, covering my tracks. Sometimes we exaggerate our stories. We stretch the truth. We use lies to cover our behavior. We make excuses. We make up things. We lie. That's deceit. John 8:44 tells us that Satan is the father of lies. Satan's the father of lies. John 14 tells us that Jesus is the truth. Who are we more like when we lie, Jesus or Satan? He's the father of lies. If you're a liar, then he says you've gone into the old ways again. We need to be truth tellers. It's time to grow up. It's time to stop being deceitful and start being truthful. We cover that up. Well, that's just a little white lie. The Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. It's time to stop being deceitful and be truthful. We get a third word out of this list. Therefore, putting aside all malice, we talked about that, and all deceit, we talked about that, and hypocrisy. You know, the root word of this is wearing a mask. That's kind of funny, isn't it? Not wearing a mask like in the pandemic. But what they did is they had actors. And actors could play several parts by having different masks that they could put on, even just holding a mask. They could play one character, and then they could, over here, play another character with a different mask. So they didn't need as many actors. So they could pretend to be somebody they weren't. Isn't that what hypocrisy is? Pretending to be something you're not? Hypocrisy. Many Christians do the same thing. They're one way at church. They wear the smiley mask. And the other way, at work, the vulgar mask, the angry mask, or at school or in the neighborhood. They're like chameleons. They change color to fit their surroundings. This ought not to be. That's a sign of immaturity. You are who you are. Are you a Christian? Then be a Christian wherever you go. Don't wear a mask. If you're not a Christian, don't come to church and pretend you are one. It's time to grow up. It's time to live boldly for Christ every day and in every way. I have an article that I found from many years ago. It was a note by an African pastor who eventually was martyred for his faith. It was so good that I made copies of it. I used orange because it's such a bold statement. It's a bold color. So if you would like this after I read it, they're on the table in the back where the bulletins are. Listen now. I am part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of His, and I won't look back. Let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My presence makes sense. My future is secure. I'm done and finished with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, or first, or tops, or recognized, or praised, or rewarded. I live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by the Holy Spirit's power. My face is set, my gait is fast, my goal is heaven, my road may be narrow, my way rough, my companions few, but my guide is reliable and my mission is clear. I will not be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice or hesitate in the presence of the adversary. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy or ponder at the pool of popularity or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, or let up until I've stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Christ. I must give until I drop, preach until I all know, work until He comes, and when He does come for His own, He will have no problems recognizing me. My colors will be clear. Isn't that fantastic? Do you have that kind of commitment? Are your colors clear? Are you a chameleon? You blend in wherever you're at. Do you stand up for Christ? Are you a hypocrite? Have you let the world know that you're an unashamed follower of Jesus Christ? Let's look at our next word. Therefore, putting aside all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy. Let's stop there. Envy is another sign of immaturity. It's called one of the deadly sins. Did you know that? Envy, because it's a sin of the heart. It's feeling resentful towards others. It's wanting what others have or wishing that they didn't have it. You say things like, I should have gotten that promotion. Why does he get to have that nice truck? I wish I could have a home like that. It's a discontent in the heart. If you're saying things like that, it's time to grow up. You're identifying yourself as an immature Christian. Rather than envying others, we should rejoice with others. Romans 12 tells us, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Weep with those who weep. Let's notice the fifth word here of things we should be putting aside, getting rid of, out of our life. Therefore, putting aside all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. The fifth sign of an immature Christian is slander, saying harmful things about another person. This would include passing on rumors, whispers, have you heard, or gossip. You know, this may be the one that describes many Christians. Sometimes we share things we shouldn't share. We're not part of the problem. We're not part of the solution. So what are we doing talking about it? Sometimes we just can't keep our mouth shut. That's a sign of immaturity. It's time to grow up and stop talking about others, slandering others, sharing gossip. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth." Isn't that great? Stop it. Zip it shut. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Okay, that was a lot, wasn't it? Five things that we need to put off: malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander. I'm sure we could list other things. But Peter went on to a positive side. Not only put off, he says, time to take in. If you want to grow, you can't just take things off. That leaves a vacuum. You can't just stop doing things. You got to start doing something else. So take off and take in. What must we take in if we want to grow spiritually? Well, the answer is super clear here. Peter tells us how you can grow. Let me read it again. 1 Peter 2, now verse 2. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted of the kindness of the Lord. God's word is what brings spiritual growth. That's what he says. Not by osmosis. In other words, just having a pocket Bible on your heart, that does not make you a better Christian. Or just having a Bible by your nightstand, it's not going to come out through osmosis and come into your heart. It has to be read, it has to be obeyed, meditated on, thought on, and applied to our life. Peter uses the illustration of a newborn baby. He says, like newborn babies, like a baby, long for the pure milk of the word. What does a baby long for? Does it long for Coca-Cola? They say, hey, give me that cracker. Or give me a grape. What does it need? It needs one thing, doesn't it? One thing only. It needs milk. Mother's milk. Without milk, the baby will perish. With milk, it'll be nourished and do what? Grow. That's the simple lesson he's saying here. It's like a newborn baby. Desire the right things in your life. God's word. It's like milk. Just as a baby needs milk, so also Christians need to feed on God's word. It's a matter of survival. Got milk? Not just on your nightstand, but in your heart? Got God's word? Notice it says the pure milk or the sincere milk of the word. You know, I know study guides are good. They're written by Christians. There's lots of devotional books that help you in your devotional life. And I know that booklets like the Daily Bread is good. We give these out here at the church. Daily Bread is wonderful. But you know what we really need? You know, this has got some scriptures in it, but it also has man's words. What we need is God's word. It says the pure milk of the word. That's the true way you feed your soul. This is the soul food that you need. By the way, we have some one-year Bibles out. They're free to take. If you'd like to donate towards it, you can donate something into the box. I think they're like $14, $15, but we're not worried about it. We want you to get God's word. Take them for free. One-year Bible is interesting. It's because it has a little bit of Old Testament, a little bit of New Testament, a little Psalms, a little Proverbs for each day of the year. So you can just pick it up. You can go to May 2nd and just read and just carry on from there. So if you want to grow, find a way to feed on God's word. By the way, my Sunday sermon is not meant to be your only nourishment for the week. Some people, this is it. You open your Bible on Sundays, or you watch the scriptures go up and you never open your Bibles, and you hear a preacher, a a sermon. If that's all the nourishment you're getting, it's like having one meal a week. Now, you're used to having 3 meals a day, 5 days a week, 7 days a week, every day of the week, lots of food. You need spiritual feeding more than what you get here on Sunday morning. Consider this an appetizer. If this motivates you to read, motivates you to study, that's good, but don't make this your main meal. I hope it whets your appetite for more, that you spend private time feasting on God's Word, that you drink deeply of this pure milk of the Word. Remember what Jesus said? He said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." If you hunger for God, if you crave God like a baby craves milk, you'll find Him in His Word. If you're thirsty for God, you'll find Him in His Word. Peter has given us a clear formula for growth, pun intended. You don't get it. Formula, milk. Oh, well. Peter's given us the clear how to grow. It's two things. We must put off the sins that hinder us, that we're told to cast aside the sins that entangle us, get rid of those things, and take in God's Word that strengthens us, that nourishes us. And the result is, we'll grow up. We'll grow up. That's the third point. Look at that verse one more time. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that you can get a check mark because you read, so that you can at the end of the year say, "I read through the Bible." Is that what it says? So that you earn some brownie points. Long for the sincere milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow. There you go. That's how you grow. Specifically grow in respect to salvation. Since you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Babies grow as they are nourished by milk. Christians grow as they're nourished by God's Word. It's time to grow up. That's the message. That's His message. Will we take His message seriously? Will you choose to grow up? Or will you just be content to stay on in your immaturity? Is God prompting you to put off some specific sin? Maybe we mentioned it, malice towards somebody, deceitfulness, you lie a lot, hypocrisy, envy, slander. Then put those things off with God's strength, receive forgiveness and power over those. Or maybe it's something that not even mentioned. Maybe you have some other besetting sin that you need to put off. Confess it to Christ and receive His forgiveness. Is God prompting you to take in more? You say, "Well, I haven't read the Bible this week or last week or maybe this year." Maybe God is prompting you to take in some nourishment. Make a commitment to read your Bible. Make it a priority. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." It didn't say it's a good idea to grow. That's a command. Grow. If you don't grow, you're refusing to grow. You're saying, "I don't want to grow up." Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray.